Come to me, all you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you. Take up my yoke upon you and learn of me, because I am meek and humble of heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Dear faithful, when our Lord spoke these words to the multitudes, he surely had in mind their various plights, their hard and taxing occupations, their trials of patience and of humility, and their souls' too often fruitless search for peace in the wrong places. He knows, because this is not all he had in mind, from all eternity, he has also seen us. He has known us. He knows what we are going through. He knows our sorrows and our joys. But he knows that one of the bitterest sufferings life can offer us here below is that of unrequited love. More particularly, a love which seems unable to flower and flourish in our souls as we would so desperately desire it to. A love which fulfills the words of the psalmist, "Deep calleth on deep," and which too often seems to finally come to nothing in us, leaving a vague sense of emptiness. Why does nothing seem to change, you may ask yourself? Why, despite my desires of amendment and of perfection, do I continue to fall? Why am I still so inclined to remain inside myself, undisturbed and unperturbed, even when charity demands that I forget myself and give generously and have no regard for the human criticisms that may come? And perhaps for some of us, why do I feel nothing? I want to say to all of you who may have experienced such thoughts, your desire for holiness and even your pain is not lost on God. It is not destroyed. It has not ceased to move your soul. The desire to love God above all things in you and to love your neighbor as yourself, cold though it may be, is a gift of the heart of Jesus. It is a gift of this heart which burns with unfathomable heat and light, consuming and exhausting itself and yet still burning on. A heart which burns forever with love for us, a pilot light which burns in the darkness and will never go out. It is a heart on fire with love, a burning heart. It is a heart consumed with a love for humanity, but not an abstract humanity. Christ loves each of us as if we were the only soul he ever created, and he would have carried out the entire drama of our redemption for each one of us alone. The Sacred Heart is a reminder and a promise that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. The adorable heart of Jesus began to beat with a love at once human and divine after the Virgin Mary generously pronounced her fiat and the word of God, as the apostle remarks, coming into the world, saith, sacrifice and oblation thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast fitted me. Holocausts for sin did not please thee. But the heart of Jesus Christ was moved by a more urgent charity when from his lips were drawn words breathing out the most ardent love. To give examples, when he was gazing at the crowds who were weary and hungry, he exclaimed, I have compassion on the crowd. And when he looked down on his beloved city of Jerusalem, blinded by its sins and so destined for final ruin, he uttered this sentence, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that slayest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered together thy children as the hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, and thou wouldst not. And his heart beat with love for his father and with a holy anger when seeing the sacrilegious buying and selling taking place in the temple, he rebuked the violators with these words, "It is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves." His heart was moved by a particularly intense love mingled with fear as he perceived the hour of his bitter torments drawing near, and expressing a natural repugnance for the approaching pains and death, he cried out, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me." And when he was greeted by the traitor with a kiss, in love triumphant, united to deepest grief, he addressed to him those words which seemed to be the final invitation of his most merciful heart to the friend who in his wicked treachery was about to hand him over to his executioners, saying, "Friend, whereto art thou come? Dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" When the divine Redeemer was hanging on the cross, he showed that his heart was strongly moved by different emotions: burning love, desolation, pity, longing desire, and unruffled peace. The words spoken plainly indicate these emotions. "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Amen, I say to thee, this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. I thirst. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." Even before he ate the Last Supper with his disciples, Christ our Lord, since he knew he was about to institute the sacrament of his body and blood, by the shedding of which the new covenant would be consecrated, he felt his heart roused by strong emotions, which he revealed to the apostles in these words, "With desire have I desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer." And these emotions were certainly even stronger when he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in commemoration of me." And also the chalice. "This chalice is the New Testament in my blood, which shall be shed for you." So indeed, let us go to this heart. We who are wearied, we who are looking for rest for our souls, we who are wearied with the travails of this life and its crosses, we who seem so often incapable of meeting the duties of our state of life head on, we who sense within ourselves that our charity is very much below and far colder than that heat and that warmth of divine love that we aspire to, the Lord is saying to us this day through the words of St. Paul, "In all these things we overcome because of him that hath loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor might, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.